did you find this?
Greg is here.
His eyes are so red.
Happy 420.
We did it. We made it to 420.
That's right. So I text Tony last night some crazy strain of bud that I found. And it wasn't anything I found. I had listened to last week's episode earlier in the week. So I was like, I'm going to go back and listen to a previous episode. I think it was in the early 120s or something. And Tony says something. He said, "Purple Whipple Moonfuck," in the episode. And so I texted that to Tony last night. I don't even think he realized he said that at one point. But
I was asleep and I woke up to a text message that just said "Purple Whipple Moonfuck." I was like, "Yeah, okay."
And you were like, "What part of my lucid dreaming am I in?"
I was just like, "That's cool. That's cool. It's 420 week. It's 420 Eve, or as regular stoners know it, Friday, ladies' night.
Right.
The freaking weekend.
Yeah, we did it. We made it.
Hell yeah. We got the Lord's Day tomorrow.
We do, and this is our third 420 special. We are men in their 30s. but you know what?
Woo-hoo!
Life sucks. I love the idea of a weed day. Who cares? Last year, we made some predictions. We can even talk about them a little bit tonight if you want to. Some of them are kind of funny.
We hit on some of them, though. We pondered that orb real fucking dankly.
Sure, sure.
We were next level. But one of the activities I think that was most beneficial for us last year was mocking out our top whatever based on a mock draft someone did. So I just picked one at random. So you guys want to get into it and talk about it?
Yeah, let's go for
it.
Hell yeah. So this was Nick Baumgartner's from The Athletic. It was I think it's about, is it 2 weeks old now? 1 week old?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, so let's go through it. It's a three-round mock, and we're going to do the fantasy-relevant players. Caleb first to Chicago, Drake May to Washington, Jaden Daniels to New England. The Vikings take J.J. McCarthy. Marvin Harrison Jr. in an Atlanta trade-up to pick 5.
I don't like that at all.
It's kind of crazy.
If he ends up in Atlanta, I'm going to be so upset.
I'm not mad about Malik Nabers to Chicago at 6, which is kind of a weird move. Romo Dunze goes to the Titans at 7. Brock Bowers goes to the Giants at 9.
So bad.
Bo Nix to Denver at 19. Brian Thomas Jr. to Arizona at 23. Adonai Mitchell to Buffalo at 28. Ladd McConkey at 32 to Kansas City. Sure. Round 2, Xavier Worthy, pick 33, Carolina. Keon Coleman went to the Chargers at 43. Shane, I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm going to kill myself this
season. Michael Penix to the Raiders at 44. Jatavion Sanders to the Colts at 46. Roman Wilson to the Steelers at 51. Xavier Leggett to Philadelphia at 53. Malachi Corley to Cleveland at 54. Ricky Pearsall to the Ravens at 62. Finally, Theo Johnson to Penn State, from Penn State to Carolina at 65. Jalen Polk at 68 to the Patriots. The Giants go Tez Walker at pick 70. The Jets take Troy Franklin at 72. Spicy. Cade Stover goes to Denver, of course, at 76. Jalen McMillan goes to Washington at 78. Brendan Rice to the Bengals. Jonathan Brooks to the Cowboys, our first running back off the board. Javon Baker to Tampa Bay. Jalen Wright, our second running back, to Green Bay at 91. Johnny Wilson to the 49ers. Let's go. 94. Jermaine Burton to the Jaguars at 96. And last but not least, Spencer Rattler to the Rams at 99. What the fuck?
I don't know how they didn't see the problem with Stetson Bennett last year, but fuck it, right?
Why not? So, whatever. So the thing about this mock is I looked at it and I'm like, you know what? I kind of hate it. And that's why I want us to analyze it, because I think it gives us the idea of how much of our perception of a player is baked into landing spot versus what we saw on film.
And I also think it's nice because I like when fantasy managers just get fucking windmill dunked by the NFL, right?
Yes.
Hey, that's a really cool theory you have there, but fuck you.
Yeah, it's not happening. So we're going to do our top 12. We also, Walker Kelly was nice enough to donate their top 12 to us. So let's start. Shane, who's your number one, your 101 Superflex?
All right, so we mentioned this a couple episodes ago, or maybe in the Discord. I don't remember. I talk a lot in this sphere. I mentioned that if Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to to Arizona, he's my 101. That was before the Keenan Allen trade. Marvin Harrison Jr. is still my highest graded prospect, but obviously the values of quarterbacks and mobile rushing quarterbacks, as well as a talent like Caleb Williams, has not been seen in a little bit. So he is my number one.
Okay. Walker's 101 is Caleb Williams. My 101 is Caleb Williams. Ryan?
Well, mine is as well. And if it's super flex, I really have, you know, the top three or four quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Harrison.
I think that's the smartest, like, QB is the most valuable position and the easiest, the cheapest you can buy it in the season is right now.
We can get through these first top four or five real easily. I mean, I disagreed with that draft, and I think instead of Drake May to Washington, I think Jaden Daniels goes to Washington.
And shut up.
And May goes to New England.
Dude, I have like $25-$30 on May to Washington.
And I also agree with everyone's sentiment that I've been seeing in a lot of these mock drafts that I've been looking at online, that Minnesota will trade up to get JJ just because the coach and the talent have experience with each other.
The only reason I want that to happen is so we can have pizza together, because I bet Waleed that JJ McCarthy is not a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
Oh, really?
We'll eat pizza about it. Shane, is Marvin your number two?
He is not. And this is obviously me getting too fucking cute, right? Of like me being like, oh, this is dumb. Because like, how long is Kyle Pitts going to be there? How long is Kirk Cousins going to be there?
Right.
The reason why I believe I would take Malik Nabers actually 102 here.
What?
Yeah. What? I went a little sicko mode. Just because I know the parallels that he's been comped to Jamar Chase, what we've seen of like, you want to play for ceiling in fantasy. Again, he's my number three scouted player, number four scouted player score wise on my sheet.
Sure.
But I also went in the philosophy of like gamesmanship of like Marvin Harrison Jr. If he goes to Atlanta, it is a little disappointing in this context, because obviously, fantasy managers are gonna be disappointed in the fact that like Drake London's there, Bijan's there, Kyle Pitts is there.
Who?
But the fact is, I think in redraft he's gonna be grossly overdrafted at that point, because I believe people are gonna believe too much in Atlanta. So there's gonna be a little bit of come down to reality in that context, where I believe Malik Nabers, like, not that I'm like a DJ Moore hater, but DJ Moore is a wide receiver too. And like, how much juice does Keenan Allen have in the tank in a new offense with a new quarterback, right?
Why would you say like, that?
The longest tenured person, I believe, if they draft Malik Nabers, will have the most value attached to a potentially top five quarterback. Even though it's a new system, I feel like he has the quote unquote most stability there. And I could be totally fucking wrong. So
you are. Listen, the only thing too about DJ Moore is his jersey number. All right.
Let's pull some stats. Hold on. Go. Keep going. We'll go. We'll come back.
My number two is Drake May. Walker's number two is Marvin Harrison. And Ryan, your number two?
It was Jaden Daniels, actually.
Whoa. Okay.
I think that's the right mentality to have, because I believe as the closer we get to draft, the upside of rushing quarterbacks is going to be pounded on the drums, and more people are going to move Jaden Daniels up, especially if he goes higher.
We had consensus number one, and we all have a different 102.
I love it, dude. I think the fact that people walk lockstep with each other is fine, but the fact that we all spend a lot of time together and still see different things, I think is very valuable.
Okay. Ryan, your 103 then is Drake May?
Yeah, correct.
You are with Walker. Walker's 103 is Drake May. My number three is Marvin Harrison. Shane, who do you got?
I got Marv.
Okay.
Marvin 103.
So in fantasy finishes with DJ Moore, he has finished in half PPR, 6th, 22nd, 19, 20, 18, and 39. Sir, that is barely a wide receiver, too.
You got to adjust for quarterback play.
Hey, he had Cam Newton at a point, so.
That's true. He had Sam Darnold at a point, too, so, and that was an upgrade.
So will Justin Jefferson.
That's oof. Oof. So your 103 was Marvin Harrison. So yep. 104, Walker's 104 is Jaden Daniels. Shane, your 104?
Drake May.
Mine was Harrison.
And I took Jaden Daniels.
I think, honestly, that component of the draft, 103 to 105, is going to be so dependent on your league. And I don't think people are going to be drafting for value. I think they're going to be drafting for need. Right? Because, like, yeah. I don't know your guys' tape score on, like, May and Daniels. I have Daniels ahead of May.
I do, too.
But they are closer, right? Like, one's, like, 88 and one is, like, 86. So it's not, like, significantly jumping in regards to quarterback, but I think Drake May fits better in Washington than Jaden Daniels does in New England, if that makes sense.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, Jaden Daniels is my second-rated tape score. I think May is, the thing is, once you get to May Daniels, I don't know, I think it's just a risk. You're just talking about you're willing to leverage risk. Yeah. And I think Daniels is the ceiling play. My 105 was Malik Nabers. Ryan?
Well, my 5 was also Nabers.
Okay. I
went Harrison Nabers.
Okay. Shane?
Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Walker with the Brock Bowers at pick 9 to the Giants, 105.
Oh, my God. I almost thought about doing that. I didn't want to be laughed at, but.
No way.
I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, Whisperer.
Hey, like we said it in the Brock Bowers episode, if he goes to the Giants, he is the offense. He is the number one target in that offense. Whoever's throwing him the ball, but he's going to have 110 targets.
Right.
Shane, did you do your 105? It's also Nabers, right?
No, my 105 is Daniels.
Daniels, okay.
Yep.
And so then we'll move on to my 106. My 106 was Brock Bowers.
Dude, mine is 2. Damn it.
Hey, me 3.
Okay. and that's where Walker put Malik Nabers. So, all right. So then 107. Now it's starting to get real interesting. We all came together on that one. But Ryan, I want to know your 107.
My 107 is Romo Dunze.
Okay. To the Tennessee Titans.
I am as well.
Okay. Walker, also Romo Dunze, 7 to Tennessee. Well, my friends, I'm taking J.J. McCarthy, the Minnesota Vikings, pick 4.
Damn.
That's fair. I think that's honestly fair, man. And, like, I think the differentiation between Rome and Brock there is just, like, we're all fucking haters of vanilla or mayonnaise man, right? Like,
right,
even though his situation is really good, right? Like, okay, it's like Zach, you said in the Discord today, how long does D-Hop hold together? Calvin Ridley is 30 years old, he's fine. Traylon Burks, our baby boy, a bust, right? There's it's his room to take, but it's just like, do you believe in Will Levis,
right? And you know, I have Odunze at 8. So I just think that decent to above average, if I can get, you know, 7 years of QB2 production out of J.J. McCarthy, that's worth 107 if he visits QB1 territory a handful of times a season.
And that's why I'm taking him at 108.
Okay. So I have Rome at 108.
I have J.J. at 8.
Hang on, Walker Kelly at 8. Jonathan Brooks.
I like
running
that.
Back, whoa. Dallas, 87.
I like that pick a lot.
Whoa.
I think you're going to see that. If Brooks goes to Dallas, if Trey Benson goes to Dallas, I think you're going to see them around 108 by the time drafts roll around.
It's just going to be pick your poison of what do you believe in, like the running back position or like these similar wide receivers in decent landing spots, right?
Was who was that that big guy we talked? Was it Allen? Big guy.
Braylon
big
Allen was.
Braylon yeah, Braylon Allen.
Or Audric Estime for Notre Dame.
I think Allen might be a sneaky choice for someone here.
Dude, but he's like 20, so like I know. See, why not?
And he's one of the biggest running backs I think in the classes here.
Yeah, big boy. So we all did 108, correct?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I had JJ.
Okay. Ryan, why don't you tell us 109 for you?
So we're still in a super flex, so it's gonna be Bo Nix.
Oh, okay. Shit. Nine. Okay. Okay. I get it, man.
He's a first round draft pick, right? You gotta believe. Like that's a prime example of you follow draft capital.
I think once you pass 106 in this draft, maybe 107, that's where the cliff hits, I think.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I went all the way to pick 3-7 and I did not pick Bo Nix at all.
Wow. So then who was your 109, Shane? Who's your 109?
Adonai Mitchell. And honestly, it's going to be a toss-up the day of the draft. Like, loved his
tape. I have him at 10.
He was my wide receiver 4, but like, J.J. Zacharyson is just filling my cereal with gallons of piss because his production profile is like really bad, right?
Right.
And, like, he's like literally, he posted a meme today. It says his yards per route run is the worst in the class. No first round wide receiver has had a worse production profile in yards per route run. So there are caveats, obviously, right? The competition level, the quarterback quality, the offensive style. I mean, I liked a lot what I saw in his tape. Buffalo is wide open in that offense, and I think that's kind of why I have him so high, is because his perceived value is going to kind of reach, as long as he doesn't have like a QJ season, he'll maintain his value percentage.
Yeah. My 109 was also Adonai Mitchell, and Walker's was J.J. McCarthy. So Jonathan Brooks over J.J. McCarthy for Walker Kelly.
Yeah.
Impressive. 10 overall, I took Brian Thomas to Arizona at pick 23. By the way, A.D. Mitchell to Buffalo, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's really good. Yeah, my number 10 is Brian Thomas, Arizona, and so was Walker's. So, Ryan, 110.
Mine was Mitchell.
Okay. Shane?
Brian Thomas.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
I mean, who do they have there?
Yeah. Number 11. Number 11, Walker took Keon Coleman, the Chargers, pick 43.
Dude, you know what's better than one QJ? Two QJs. Two?
There you go. I took Jonathan Brooks, running back, Dallas, 87 overall. Dude,
holy shit. So did shit. I.
Okay, Ryan?
At 11, I had Michael Penix.
Okay. All right. Hey.
Man values his quarterbacks. I get it. Makes sense.
He's my 112.
You guys are never going to believe my 112. Ben Sinnott. No, I'm just kidding. No, I had Brian Thomas, but
okay.
If I had, you know, I just wanted to make a joke, but I'm trying to get multiple shares of Ben Sinnott and a lot of things this year.
You got seconds to use. You'll be good. I put, Tony and I are getting divorced right now. I put Ladd McConkey, 112.
Oh, brutal. Damn.
Listen, can he be as good as Juju was on the Chiefs? Is that the expectation, right? Can it happen?
I think it's like his ceiling.
But even then, that's worth 112 as well as like production, right? Like the way I viewed this lens of the pick is you won last year. And this player, if they go to Kansas City, is going to have much higher perceived value, right? And what are you really burning with 112?
A pick of Ladd McConkey in the first round of Dynasty Rookie Drafts supports white supremacy. I'm saving for last. Walker Kelly's 112, which rocking my shit. At pick 78 to the Washington Commanders, Jalen McMillan.
I like it.
Really?
That's huge.
He was my 211.
That's the thing, man. Jalen McMillan, sneaky.
This draft is going to be hard, dude.
I don't know if I like that, especially if Washington gets McDaniels, but you never know.
Those are our 12s. I had a couple. Shane, you built it all the way out to 3-7. I wrote down some guys that I would like in round two. Roman Wilson to Pittsburgh, Ricky Pearsall to Baltimore, Jalen McMillan to Washington, and Troy Franklin to the Jets.
I did Roman, Xavier Worthy, Keon, because I'm a glutton for punishment, Franklin, Pearsall, Penix, Braylon Allen, Blake Corum, Jalen Polk, McMillan, Sanders, and Ben Sinnott at 3-1. But obviously, as we've seen, the draft boards will change, and I believe that a lot of those dudes will flip-flop. So I like this mock a lot.
Did you have Corum? Do you have Corum before Allen or after Allen?
After Allen. They're split. Oh, okay. I mean, it's obviously going to be difference. I mean, Allen is my RB3 right now, but I mean, if someone hits the fifth compared to the third, like, you got to follow draft capital.
Yeah.
Especially in a class that, like, I don't think you saw this message, but someone's ranking had, like, it was wide receiver, or no, running back 6 was at the same tier as wide receiver 17. And I was like, dude, running backs suck this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you guys foresee a running back going in the first round, honestly?
No. I think third round's the earliest we see a player this year.
I think we're going to see late second.
Okay. I mean, like a playoff contention team, right? And like, this is like my weird 420 thought, right? Of like, these running backs are going to be surprise values this year, even though they're kind of like mid, is because the old guard is phasing out, right? Like, is Austin Eckler really going to be a running back 2 this year?
Nope.
Who fucking knows, right? So like, I think these players are going to be slept on, and they're going to be put in positions where, like, unless they all have like 3.2 yards per carry, they're all going to be kind of shock return values. And I think we're going to see some real dumb shit at the end of next season in regards to like values.
You know what you were talking about that makes me kind of laugh that I'm thinking about is, you know how like your home league, you can have all of this like time and energy put in and you end up placing like 4th. And someone who just like drafted off of like Fantasy Pros like wins. That I'm telling you right now, if you ask that person that you know in your league that's like your homie, hey, what NFL team does Austin Eckler play for?
Chargers.
They're not gonna know the answer to that question.
Right.
Or hey, are you excited to watch Aaron Jones on the Green Bay Packers this year?
Right. Nope. So, all right. Look, we did work. We put in our business, serious business, fucking horseman business. Now let's cut it loose. Let's hit the reggae and let's vibe. We've got our edible predictions. I pulled up everybody's last year edible predictions, and it was a lot of fun, you guys. We were pretty bad. We could talk about those if you wanted to, if you really want to.
Why don't you pick your favorite one as the host, right? Like,
what are your favorite ones? What are some good ones that we did well on?
Okay. Some ones that I liked that were really good. Ryan said that for the New York Giants, Darren Waller was only going to play 4 games, and as a result of that, Daniel Bellinger was going to score 6 touchdowns.
Did it happen, though? It was close. It was close.
I just love the consistency. No, my favorite one is Tom Brady plays for the Dolphins in 2023. I thought that was so dope. You actually, like, kind of got this right. You said that the Packers were going to draft 2 top 10 wide receivers in the 2023 draft. And, like... obviously, none of their, like, I wouldn't say Dontavian Wicks is a top 10 wide receiver, but like in the class, he's probably close.
Yeah.
Like, not top 10 in the league, but like of the top 10 rookie receivers, like you would put Reed and Wicks in there most likely, I would say.
Let's see real quick. So Puka, obviously, Rashi, this is by yards. So Puka, Rashi Rice, Addison, Laporta, Flowers, Reed, Downs, Tank Dell, Dalton Kincaid, JSN, Dontavian Wicks. So he's like right at the cutoff, dude. If we take out the tight ends, I nailed that shit.
No, that was all Ryan, dude. That was
Green Bay, dude. What the hell? Traitor.
You nailed Bijan to the Falcons at 108.
You know why? Because I'm as stupid as Arthur Smith.
And you also did say that They would trade for Lamar Jackson. You were on that last year, which I love.
Dude, man, we knew it for 2 years they're getting a quarterback because Desmond Ridder just sucks.
You called, you were nailed it when you called the Chiefs as repeat champs. But in fairness,
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry.
In fairness, in the episode, me and Ryan were both like, that's a bullshit prediction. That's way too likely.
Which is funny because when we did our team previews, I was like, there's no way they're like more than 10-7, right? There's no way that they do better. And then here we are.
You also said Brandon Staley fired before week 11. And I don't know if it was week 11, but it was close.
It might have been week 12.
You said that last year Steelers would end the season over 500, that they wouldn't make the playoffs, which they did. But you also said that Deontay Johnson traded. So you called that.
He was fired week 16, so I was way off.
Okay, but it's, you're still close.
Yeah.
Ryan, you said Watson was only going to play 6 games.
Yep.
We celebrated. I don't know. I don't look. I was busy. But you got the vibes right.
Sure.
Can you manifest a bus hitting him, please?
I had my favorite didn't happen. Dude, Shane he played, production.
He played 6 games. Ryan nailed that.
Let's go.
Oh shit. Hell yeah.
Let's go. Speaking of nailing it, Shane said he was wrong on one of these 3 things, possibly. So he said they trade Buda Baker, didn't happen. Said they would get rid of D-Hop, which happened. And then he said they're gonna make the playoffs in 2024 after drafting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh shit.
Pondering the orb, dude.
Pretty good.
Dude, it's like Nostradamus.
Yeah, hey, dude, check out.
An idiot is right once in his life, all right?
Here's this. Nostradamus is going to hit you with the Hendon Hooker starting QB1 for the Saints
in 2023.
So that was.
Whoops.
So for me, I said that Adam Thielen was going to be a top 12 wide receiver in 10 games, 10 weeks.
How many meals did Adam Thielen buy you last year? Had to be like two, right?
A few. I said that Justin Fields was going to win MVP in one of the next 2 years, which could still happen.
Technically.
Do you guys hear that? Do you hear the hair rustling in the wind behind us? That's Waleed sprinting to the mic.
That's Waleed's music. I said the Cooper Kupp was going to get traded. I also said the Colts would draft Will Levis, who's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Whoops. And then the only other thing that was even close was I said that the Bucks were going to win the division.
Hey, dude, you nailed that one, too. You know what? I was reading those predictions. We were so in on Trey Lance just going anywhere else and just tearing the league up. And guess what he did? Rode the bench the whole year.
Yeah, Shane said Raiders were going to trade Davante Adams for Trey Lance. And I said that, Trey Lance was going to be the one that led the Bucks to winning the division.
Oh, shit.
Doubters of Baker Mayfield, man.
It's been a whole year since I thought about Trey Lance in any meaningful way.
The only time I ever hear about him is in the Discord. Everybody else, like, you could ask anyone on the street who watches football, what team does Trey Lance play for?
Not a clue. Was he an Olympian?
Saskatchewan. Okay, so... With that said, that means that we need to set a really, really modest bar for our 420 predictions this year.
I've got some crazy ones, and I've got some no shit ones.
Yeah. Okay. I've got some blah ones, but I've got some good ones, I think, too.
So our order has been randomly decided to be Ryan, Tony, Shane. So Ryan, number one, who you got?
I'll start with one of the more boring ones. Let's start with the Broncos. All right.
Okay.
The Broncos have, let's see, looks like 8 picks in the draft this year. The Broncos will win 3 games or less this year.
Yes.
Who's their quarterback, Ryan?
I honestly don't know. I hope it's not, what's his name?
Jared Stidham.
I hope it's not Stidham, but I think it's going to be because they're going to, unless they trade up. They only have 8 picks to work with, whereas, a lot of these other teams got 10, 11, or 12. They don't have a lot of ground to negotiate, and a lot of their picks are, 6 of their picks our hundredth or later.
Yeah, they don't have. I think they've got like a first and like a fourth or a third.
I don't think they're going to be able to draft a quarterback. It would suck if they draft Brock Bowers. I will be so mad if they draft Brock Bowers.
All right. How about this? Carson Wentz.
Dude, Carson Wentz is too busy working the drive-thru. Right?
Let's bring in Joe Flacco. Let's look what he did with the Browns at the end of last year.
He's on the Colts now.
Oh, no.
They signed the urchin to explode. They're like, we don't want that shit again.
Wait a minute. What about fucking Cam Newton, baby?
Oh, shit. I'd be down to watch that.
I have a better arm than Cam Newton at this point. All right, listen, I did read this week that there was rumblings that Sean Payton wants to leverage the future, which is like so on brand of like, hey, I know you fucked your franchise to get me and to get rid of the guy you messed up on, but I'm also going to set you back another 5 years for this next season.
Yep.
I don't know. Broncos are definitely an interesting position because AFC West is going to suck ass this year.
Uh-huh. All right. I'm going with the Panthers. Behind a Bryce Young resurgence under Dave Canales, the Panthers are your 2024 NFC South division champs despite having a sub 500 record.
You need to stop smoking whatever you're smoking because that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Wait. You ready for this? Bryce Wentz comeback player of the year. And despite the playoff berth, the Panthers are rated the worst organization to play for in the NFL in the annual player poll that drops every February.
That'd be cool. I mean, the Chiefs had a really bad rating, right?
Yeah. All right, Shane.
All right, we're going to the AFC West again. So this one's kind of chalk in the beginning. The Raiders take Penix in the second, who leads them to a better campaign than the corpse of Jimmy G and Farva. This is the last year of relevancy for Devontae Adams in fantasy football. They finish second in the division, but they are less than 500.
Yeah, that sounds like an organization that's been spinning its wheels for a few decades now. Ryan?
Let's go to the Giants, who will surprisingly be worse than the Broncos this year.
Get him.
Darren Waller will retire this year. unfortunately, I don't think the Giants are in the position to take Brock Bauer, so that's good. They really need a wide receiver, which sucks for Malik Nabers because the Giants are going to draft Malik Nabers and win two or less games this year.
Yes. Yes.
I love how Ryan's already, he's just claiming his 101s right now.
Let me set this bitch off. Chicago Bears are going to take Brock Bowers at 9. He's going to get hurt in week 15, causing the Bears to lose their last two games and miss the playoffs, including a loss to Green Bay in the final week of the season.
Oh my God. Well, this is a great prediction. Bears miss playoffs because of Bowers.
Keenan Allen retires. And Ryan Poles offers Rashad Bateman a 3-year, $40 million contract, and Waleed loves the move.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
All right, Shane.
I guess we'll stay on topic with Rashad Bateman.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Chargers. Joe Alt, Keon Coleman, Blake Corum, and I begin my 3-year bitch fest of Weirdo Jim and Greg Roman. I'll never have optimism for this team, but it is my destiny to watch Sisyphus slam to the back of his O-line, pushing his team into mediocrity for all of eternity. Bateman's traded for a 6th-round pick on draft day to the Chargers.
Oh, man. Okay. Next year, we're going to look back on these predictions and be like, what were we on Rashad Bateman about?
Because the Chargers are fucking dumb, and they're just going to follow suit of what everybody else has already laid in the ethos.
Future me, when you're listening back to this, tell me all the betting lines I should have taken. All right, Ryan.
All right, let's go with the Dolphins here. This is another team that has two decent picks and four shitty picks 150 years later. I honestly can't figure out what they're going to do in the draft, but my prediction for them is that they finish under 500 on the season, and Tyreek Hill has a season-ending injury before the midway point of the season.
You're so mean.
Dude, it couldn't happen to a better person.
I got Philly, and I fear that with AJ Brown probably going to the Patriots for some reason, might not happen.
Jesus Christ, dude! Why? Hey, man, he's a homie hopper.
Yeah, he's on one this week. I love it. Whatever. So, Eagles Lions NFC title game this year.
I like it.
AJ Brown likes a tweet in Week 5 that calls Kellen Moore the NFL's version of Kyle Rittenhouse, and it rallies the offense. Jalen Hurts, fantasy quarterback 1 in 2024, and Big Dom is given a promotion so he could be on the sidelines again to occasionally push opposing players.
Who wins the NFC championship?
Eagles.
Okay, because I was going to say, is Nick Sirianni fired?
No, and it's probably for the worst.
Speaking of the worst, we're going to go with the Commies. They take the worst quarterback out of the initial bunch, even though the other two succeed and they are stuck in purgatory forever. Terry McLaurin is once again one of the most frustrating fantasy assets for what feels like the entirety of me playing fantasy football.
He's so good.
Remember how he re-signed?
Yeah.
He chose his future, man. Loyalty takes you nowhere, bro. We talked about this off air. Don't be reliable. It's a bad trait.
I don't disagree with that. All right, Ryan, bring it on.
Let's go with a good one. Let's go with the Cincinnati Bengals, all right? The Bengals are a team this year. It looks like they got 10 picks in the draft. So they're going to use a lot of those picks. They have big ones at 18 and 49. I think they're going to do some really good work on their O-line, and they need it, all right? Because this year, Joe Burrow is going to become the 10th player in NFL history to throw for over 5,000 yards.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Fuck yeah.
All right. And Ja'Marr Chase is hopefully going to have at least 2,000 of those.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm fucking talking about. All right. Ready?
Do it.
Rams. Tyler Higbee invents a new slur.
Oh, shit.
Also, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams all miss significant time this year. The Rams end up with a top 5 pick in the 2025 NFL draft. And Stetson Bennett wins Employee of the Month at a car dealership in Georgia. Go Dogs.
Yes.
Do you know what's funny is this is the year I'm backing on the Rams, and we're going to get so burned.
Oh, God. Oh, one of us dies. All right, Shane.
Speaking of getting burned, we're going to the Falcons. Almost every single fantasy asset on this team is overdrafted, and only one player will break their ADP return of investment. They still win this garbage-ass division, but get knocked out in the first round by one of the teams I talk about later.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do the Browns yet, right?
No.
Yeah, there's not too much to say about the Browns, except they're cursed, and they're going to be a bottom 5 team this year.
Hell yeah, dude.
Never stop.
I can't wait for them to draft Quinn Ewers and just do the purgatory quarterback shit forever.
They only have 6 picks in this draft, and their first pick is not till the second round at 54.
Yep. And they have a lot of holes they need to fill, and they're paying the quarterback a lot of money.
They have pick 54 and 85, and then every pick after that is after 200. Or sorry, no, they got 156. Sorry.
But they have 30-year-old Nick Chubb with a blown out knee that he just restructured his contract, and everybody thinks he's going to be a running back 1.
I'm staying away from him this year.
Yep. Smart.
All right. I'm going with the Colts. Josh Downs leads all Colts pass catchers in fantasy points per game in 2024. And throughout the course of the season, Joe Flacco throws over 9.5 touchdowns.
Why the fuck are you doing this to me, bro? Come on.
Last but not least, Jim Irsay confirmed on Epstein flight logs.
That'd be funny.
Oh, shit.
Do you think anything would happen because of that?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
That's a normal take.
Look at all the people that have already been confirmed and nothing happened to them.
But you gamble, though, we're going to fucking send you to the gulag.
Yep.
Yep. Banned.
All right. Speaking of the gulag, the Steelers.
Uh-oh.
Justin Fields is named the starter week 1, and Wally becomes the most insufferable person we've ever met to a level we've never seen before. George Pickens is still a wide receiver too, and they still managed to make the playoffs by some fucking miracle, and TJ Watt does not win Defensive Player of the Year.
Thank God.
Wow.
Good. Well deserved.
That last part was just me being a hater, so.
I respect it. Ryan?
All right, let's go to Houston. All right. Houston has nine picks this draft, so they got a chance to do. They don't really have, like, outside of, like, maybe beefing up their O-line and D-line, they can do a lot of good stuff with that. I mean, their offense is pretty stacked. I mean, maybe trying to get another running back or something like that.
They're going to draft a running back for sure.
Yeah. But I have high hopes for the Texans this year. That's why I'm calling it right now. The Texans will win the AFC Championship.
Oh my God, oh, Ryan. Yeah. I had the same thought, dude.
Yes. Let's go. And
CJ Stroud will throw for over 4,500 yards.
Let's go. Oh my God. Yeah,
I feel like I'm the only person in the world who's believing in a CJ Stroud sophomore slump.
Oh no. Yes.
You're alone.
I am on this island by myself.
Yeah, lonely island boy.
Yeah, someone you have the flare and a plane saw that shit and flew past you.
They're just throwing me the middle finger. You're wrong, idiot.
All right, I got the Seahawks. This year the team's gonna jump back and forth from Geno Smith to Sam Howell. Not due to injury, but because they're both mid. The new coaching staff is not as seamless a transition as they had hoped. The Seahawks finished third in the NFC West. Tyler Lockett retires, and Pete Carroll does an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast.
Now he goes on that new TLC show, MILF Island.
I can see it. I can see it. All right, Shane, what do you got?
Well, since Ryan gassed up the Texans, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. So the kings of the NFL are finally dethroned by Houston in the AFC Championship after an injury-riddled season finally collapses the team. We get way more Taylor Swift, so right-wing weirdos get even more mad at the sport, and we get even crazier lyrics than compared to what the dog shit you just put out was.
Oh my God, so bad.
And Travis Kelce retires.
Game respect. Ooh. Makes sense.
So he plays this year and then retires?
Yeah, he will play, and then they're going to get knocked out, and he's going to hang it up.
Okay. It's time for him to settle down, you know, with Swifty, you know.
Dude, yeah. He's set for life if he knocks her up. Holy shit.
Yep.
Or his kid is, at least.
Yeah, someone's taken care of.
All right, let's go to the Packers. All right, Packers, I think, have the most draft picks of any team this year. Let's see. They have 12 draft picks right now. So in true Packers fashion, and as a Bears fan watching their, you know, insane luck with, you know, having Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, the Packers will trade up this year to get a potential NFL star. I do not know who it is. I don't know if it's going to be a wide receiver. I don't know if they're going to trade up and get Brock Bowers. I don't know if they're going to trade up and get a quarterback. But in true Packer fashion, they are going to get lucky with whoever they draft with their first overall pick this year.
Dude, you just cursed your franchise. They're going to trade up and take Marv.
Dude, we're already cursed.
Oh, my God. This is hell.
I didn't even think about them trading up, dude, but look at that.
They have so much capital.
They don't do that, though. Like, that's why it's not talked about, because they're not a trade-up team usually, not in the first round.
Right. You know, well, they have pick 25 and 41 right now.
Yeah.
And then they have 58. I mean, they have eight out of their 12 picks are before pick 169.
Okay. If say Rome is there at 112 with the Broncos, do you think Green Bay trades up? I think it would be smart for the franchise of the Broncos to trade back with them.
I would love it if they I wouldn't love it if they did it. It would be a good move to do it, but I don't think they would.
Sure.
All right, I got the Bucs. Mike Evans is Mike Evans for another year. Old coach Todd Bowles, our buddy there, has to tell the media Baker is still our starting quarterback after several games this season, and Ron DeSantis sues Tom Brady.
Oh, damn.
Tom Brady would fold him like a lawn chair.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Shane, what you got?
We're sticking with the NFC South. We're going to go Famous Jameis manages to play against the Saints in a playoff key matchup, goes lights out, and gives a final middle finger to Dennis Allen and does one of the funniest things we'll see all season.
I love it.
I don't even what team. I don't even know what team Jameis plays for.
It's fine. He'll show up somewhere. Ryan?
All right, let's go to the 49ers. Another team, they have 10 or 11 picks. 31, 63, 94. I think this year, I don't know why I have... this one was like a gut feeling when I was thinking about like writing this down. But I think they take Braylon Allen in the draft as, okay, you know, a huge run offense. And to let someone like that study behind McCaffrey, I think it'd be an interesting fit for him. I don't know why. That just like came to me the other night. I'm like, this is probably wrong, but I'm going to write this down for the 49ers.
No way. I love that. It came to you as an apparition.
Sure.
So I have the Bills. This one's pretty starts off pretty hot. The Bills are going to trade for and then extend Brandon Ayuk. They are going to draft Javon Baker. They will draft two solid starting defenders in the draft, win their division by at least four games, and lose to Kansas City in the playoffs. Dawson Knox will outscore Dalton Kincaid in fantasy.
What? That's heresy.
And Bills fans will no longer put people through tables and instead host and compete in cage matches in the parking lot, creating a new indie wrestling federation.
I'm putting breakfast bet. I'm saying it right here. Breakfast bet on Kincaid does better than Knox. We're doing it.
All right, done. It's gonna happen.
I thought you were gonna bet the division. That felt like more of a fair bet.
Nope. I'm all in, baby. All right, Shane. All right.
We'll stick with the AFC. After another miserable season with no end in sight, a fan will drive a blimp into the stadium during Week 14 and try to 9/11 Robert Kraft.
Yes.
Solid. That's solid. You're gonna get Black Sunday, Robert Kraft.
You got blimp.
All right, Ryan, what do you got?
All right, guys, let's go to New York. We'll stay in the AFC. We'll go with the Jets. All right. I hate that I have to say this right now. All right.
Oh God.
I hate that I have to say this right now.
Oh, no. Okay.
Number one. I hate that the Jets are going to end up with Brock Bowers. All right.
Okay.
Especially because Rodgers is only going to be there for
1 year,
less than six games this year.
Yes.
You heard it right here. This is my Deshaun Watson after bet. Like I'm doubling down on last year. Aaron Rodgers plays six games or less this year.
Yes.
And the Jets just wasted $70 million.
Okay. Look at Alan Lazard. Fucking okay. $40 million down the drain. All right, does he miss time because of injury? He runs for president, or he gets assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald's kid?
it's either injury or perma trip from whatever ayahuasca he had done on Wednesday before the game.
You know what would be really funny is if he gets AIDS, because he made that comment.
Oh my God.
How he thinks AIDS was made in a lab.
That's so ridiculous. I can't believe that he said that. All right. Let's go to the Titans. Tony Pollard, top 12 fantasy points per game this year.
Okay. We'll see.
Tennessee's running a different style of offense, but absolute legend offensive line coach Bill Callahan gets the most out of first-round draft pick Joe Alt and returning Peter Skoronski, and the Titans sneak out a wild-card berth.
Hell yeah.
Will Levis has his first of many Kirk Cousins moments yelling, quote, "I like that," after a comeback win against Houston late in the season.
I got good ones. Let's go the Ravens. I'm waving to the new Buffalo Bills right now. So the Ravens are going to tear it up during the year and get knocked out of the playoffs by Kansas City again after the Ravens' bye week. They will be the number one seed, and the Chiefs will be the seventh seed.
Oh,
okay.
Gross. Awful. Ryan?
All right, guys, my Jags. Let's go to Jacksonville.
Okay.
They don't have too many draft picks this year. They have seven, but they do have pick 17. My guess is they're going to do something O-line or D-line there. One positive out of this season, because there's a negative coming. They do draft Ben Sinnott, which I like because I'll get to, you know, watch some chemistry develop with.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I hate to say this as well, but the Jags finish 500 or worse this year. Oh no.
I think you're a realist. I respect your honesty with yourself.
I know. You know how hard I wanted to come into this podcast and be like Jags AFC championship winners. But
dude, you're growing. Guys, growth's beautiful.
I know. I learned from last year. Although they did all right last year.
They just had a cataclysmic fucking collapse.
Yeah. They started really good.
I'll give Mr. Hairman, I'll give him 7 rushing touchdowns this year.
Okay. Okay. Feeling mighty generous.
Do you think he's going to get killed again like he did the last two seasons?
Yeah, he's going to be get banged up for sure.
All right, my last one. You guys each had 11, I had 10. Here, Cowboys. Dallas has several starters end up top 12 in their position for fantasy. CD, Dak, Big Ferg, and a rookie running back that ends up being runner-up for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know who that is. I would guess either Jalen Wright or Trey Benson. The Lions knock Dallas out of the playoffs. Dak leaves after the season to be the next quarterback for the Broncos.
Okay.
Jerry Jones does an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, no.
Does Jerry Jones live through the whole season?
He eats raw meat with Joe Rogan and ends up dying.
He's all right, like, so then during the season, once Darren Waller retires, we'll start doing our Jerry Jones watch.
Oh God,
Jerry Jones still alive?
Oh my God, I'm so in.
That's how we get traction on social media. just death watches for players.
That'll be our theme this year once Darren Waller retires.
Fair enough.
Holy shit!
What if it happens on the same day? What's the lead story?
Then the Jaguars will win the AFC Championship.
Oh, God. All right, Shane.
All right, I got the Vikings. So for their tampering of Kirk Cousins, they are stripped of pick 11 and absolutely fuck themselves out of a potential quarterback trade-up, finish last in the division, and Justin Jefferson is not a Viking in 2025.
Yes, yes, yes. Vikings implosion. Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
Nope. No chemistry with JJ.
He's just gonna be like, "The shit sucks. I'm out of here." He's gonna be a Patriot with AJ Brown.
Oh no!
It'd be really nice to see the Patriots have a good team. You know, like
they really owed it, dude. They've waited way too long for.
I know, right? It's been like 2 years without Tom Brady. I can't take it.
All right, and then Shane, is this your last one?
Yeah, so I'm going to complete my orb ponder with the Cardinals again. They draft Marvin Harrison Jr., make the playoffs, being the last seed to make it in. Kyler returns as a top 5 quarterback, and I'm still mad at myself for not buying every single share that I could last year when the fire sale happened. They knock out the Falcons in the playoffs. That was the caveat.
Oh, cool. Shit. All right, guys, the Detroit Lions, all right? They're going places this year, all right? Not only will the Detroit Lions win the NFC Championship and face the Texans in the Super Bowl this year. Sam LaPorta will have over 1,000 yards and 10 or more touchdowns.
Cool.
I like how Detroit Lions. I like how you didn't claim a Super Bowl winner. You're just like Sam LaPorta. That's my Lombardi.
I have some Walker Kelly gummy predictions I'd like to share with the group.
Let them rip.
Sure.
Jalen McMillan, top 5 rookie wide receiver for fantasy. My man is a Jalen McMillan truther.
Okay.
5 quarterbacks drafted in round 1. None of them are Bo Nix.
Okay.
I could see that.
I love this, the hatred, the specific hatred. this one feels weird. Xavier Worthy outscores Adonai Mitchell in 2024.
Oh, no.
You know what? Walker knows ball. I'm just going to have to accept that fact.
10 offensive linemen go round 1, which seems reasonable.
I see that.
Brock Bowers and Ben Sinnott both finish as top 12 tight ends.
Oh, I'm here for that. Let's do that.
This one I thought was really interesting. J.J. McCarthy and Roman Wilson end up on the same team.
Really? They already got play together, so why not? Let's do it.
Dude, I got to be honest with you. If the Vikings... Well, the problem is the Vikings would have to give up a pick that would be around where Roman Wilson is to get to McCarthy, I would imagine.
But
Roman Wilson truthers, and he's like a fourth round wide receiver.
I think he's a second round wide receiver, man. But him in Minnesota would be dangerous as a wide receiver too.
What about Jordan? What about Jordan Addison?
I don't know who that is. You know what? Put him in the slot. It's fine. Audric Estime is the highest scoring running back in the class of 2024.
Oh, damn.
That's bold. Piping hot. Although Estime hype is strong. The Detroit Lions draft Johnny Newton from U of I, which makes total sense to me. Okay. All right, so those are our predictions. We are not liable for the wrongness of them, but we are taking credit for the ones that we get right.
Right, obviously. We won't ever tell you the ones we get wrong.
No, never. Tom Brady, Dolphin.
Because I'll tell you what, none of y'all are going to go back 52 episodes and listen to what we said last year.
Like,
so.
like I did earlier this week. All right, so we got a couple more things to get through. I wanted to do a brief history lesson about the year 420.
Yeah, let's go to the year of our Lord.
One time Ryan said to me, how cool would it have been to be alive in the year 420? And I think of that all the time. So yeah. So I looked it up. So I found a couple fun facts about the year 420. First one, fucking wild. People in the year 420 didn't know they were in the year 420.
What?
The AD calendar didn't exist until 525 and wasn't commonly used until the 9th century.
So it was just always 420 until 525.
Yes, exactly. That was actually in the text that I read, yeah.
Right. That's what it was in textbooks before.
Right.
Because they had textbooks.
Right. 420 was also a leap year, which means one more day to blaze it, am I right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Blaze it up 366 days a year.
I'm saying, shout out to the Gupta Empire for hitting its zenith in the year 420. We got King Chandra holding it down. This is like the biggest that the Gupta Empire would ever get in terms of land before it eventually withered and was overthrown.
I'm too high right now, and I think you're just making shit up.
Nah, dude, the internet said all these things. We got big shit going down. We got a coaching change in China. The Jin Dynasty is overthrown. That's a king. There was a king who was so inbred he couldn't eat or get dressed and was murdered by his regent, so the brother of the king took power. Emperor Wu is the new king, so blaze it up for Emperor Wu. So a guy named Valamir was born in 420. He was linked up with Attila the Hun. And after Attila died, he, and I quote, fought against the Huns to consolidate his independent control over a large group of Goths, end quote, which sounds like Shane's, like, fantasy. So.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm vulnerable right now, Goth women. Hit me up.
So those are just some fun facts about the greatest year to ever exist, the year 420.
Oh, hell yeah. Sweet.
Ryan, take us on a trip, dude. Let's go.
All right, guys. So in the spirit of 420, I just want to do really quick shout out to a few really cool towns. Tony sent me like an article earlier this week from like Rolling Stone or something. And it was just like some towns that have, why would you name your towns? Let's go to Smoketown, PA. All right. Let's go to Blount, South Dakota. All right. I actually know this town because it's right outside Greensboro, North Carolina. High Point, North Carolina. All right. That was like the only one I knew out of these. You've got Tokeland, Washington.
Yes.
Right. We've obviously got Weed, California. We also have the Bong Recreation Area in Wisconsin. I've been there.
Yeah. Dick Bong, dude. Remember he's got the airfield. You did a town that had his airfield in it.
Yeah.
Dick Bong.
That's right.
Shit.
Keefe, North Dakota. The Mary Jane Falls, Nevada. Hell yeah.
That's on purpose. That one's right. On purpose for sure.
But really quick, since it is 420, like, what I want to know your guys' favorite, like, weed strain. That could be something you're smoking now or just something you guys really, really enjoy.
There's a flavor, gas station sushi, my shit.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about.
It's cheesy, man. I don't know how to describe it other than cheesy, and it's wonderful.
So my life, I've always been taught that sativa is bad, right? So when I did my, when I bought my packs, we're sponsored by packs now, by the way, thank
you. Yes.
20% off your 420 order with them this weekend. I got a, like a bunch of nugs. And I was like, fuck it. What's like, well, first I looked up least conspicuous smelling weed strains. So that brought me to, strawberry cough, which is a sativa. I'm having a good time with it. I don't feel the difference, right? I'm just like, I'm just high. That's just it.
Well, yeah. So like, you know, Evan used to work in the weed industry. And I mean, what he said is true. There's no such thing as indica or sativa anymore. Everything's been crossbred so many times that it's just whatever.
Right.
And circle back to what we were saying earlier. Black Sabbath is not classic rock. We were talking about this off air and...
Hey,
I've been thinking about this for about an hour and a half now.
I rattled you an hour and a half ago. All right, well, I'm going to say something that's very weird, right? Like, we all are doomed to repeat the same shit as our family, right?
Yes.
My grandpa was on some real shit smoking weed in the garage listening to Paranoid, right? Because I did that a couple months ago, and I was like, God, he was a fucking genius because this is so good.
Sabbath is perfect for just, like, working on a car. Or getting high.
But Paranoid's kind of a bad song to smoke weed to, right? Like, in theory. I don't ever get paranoid. I'm very lucky in that context. I don't get paranoid, but I know a lot of people who don't have a good time.
The problem with Paranoid is how many high school bands I've heard play it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I go to the performances at my where I work, and, like, you'll see, like, student bands. It's like, yeah, all right, we're going to do Black Sabbath, and it's just... It's bad. It's whatever.
Ryan, what's your favorite?
So here's where I'm getting to. So my favorite, which is something near and dear to my heart that I have ever been able to find like in a long time. It's from like 20 years ago, and it's just some of my favorite buds I've ever smoked, and I don't know if I'll ever find it again, but at least I haven't out here so far. Alaskan Thunderfuck. Yep. All right. Yep. That is my favorite. It's a hybrid, and it's said to originate in Alaska's Matanuska Valley. All right.
Of course.
So this week, guys, we're just going to cover the state of Alaska.
Oh, right? Shit. Let's go.
All right.
What a transition, Ryan. That was fucking awesome.
All right. So... Alaska's huge. It has 591,000 square miles and is double the size of Texas. And did you know that in 1867, it was purchased for only $7.2 million? Now, that may seem like a lot of money at the time, but it was technically only 2 cents an acre for the size. You know, put that in perspective nowadays, you know, a half acre lot can cost you $100,000, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's see. In Chugach State Park, they have some of the craziest tides in the world. Variations during the day can fluctuate 32 to 35 feet. That's damn crazy.
Yeah.
The Malaspina Glacier is 50% larger than the entire state of Delaware. Put that in perspective. We can't let that one melt, guys. All right.
Take that in your pipe and smoke it, Delaware.
Right? As we all know, gold was found in the Klondike Valley in 1896, which sparked the gold rush and the beginnings of towns like Seattle, where people had to stop on their way to Alaska to get supplies and stuff. Alaska is home to one of the largest earthquakes in the world. It is the largest earthquake on the North American continent ever recorded. It is also the second largest to this day recorded on a seismograph. It happened in March 27th, 1964. They had a 9.2 earthquake. Holy it basically shit. Just destroyed everything Holy that was shit. There. And remember, like, earthquakes are exponential as they grow by one tick higher, you know. So we saw that one that created that tsunami in Thailand. That was like a maybe it was it like an eight, something like that.
8-3 or something like that.
Right, right. And that created a, you know, 100-foot wave or whatever. This was basically like 1,000 times stronger, you know, and it's only a couple ticks higher on the seismograph scale.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Did you know that Alaska is the only U.S. state to produce platinum? No other state. Yeah. All U.S. platinum comes from Alaska.
That's dope.
Yeah. Did you know that the builder of the Madison Square Garden was a gambler named Richard Ricard? And he made a shitload of money in Alaska during the gold rush in the late 1800s in his 20s, and then made so much money, moved back to New York, built the Madison Square Garden.
Fuck.
They have the Iditarod race. Everyone knows what the Iditarod race is. The dogs that go from Anchorage to Nome, which is, it's over 1,000 miles.
Can you bet on it?
I you probably can in Alaska. In fact, maybe we'll go there. And we'll go up to Anchorage one time when they have that, and we will bet on it. It is a race.
And you can get your weed, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. But do you guys know how that race started? Do you have any idea how it started?
Is that the Balto thing?
I was like, I've seen Balto like one time when I was six. So
Kind of. It's the same story. But in 1925, they had an outbreak of diphtheria in Nome, Alaska. So they took a whole bunch of the vaccine and gave it to these sled dogs and rode from Anchorage all the way to Nome, and they recreate that race every year. It just gets more popular.
You know what they don't tell you is that all of the people that took that vaccine got the 5G.
Shut the fuck up.
I had to interrupt you to say that. That was...
At the time, it took 127 hours. How many hours is that in days? But now it's done. Now it's done. I think the fastest time was 8 days and some odd hours. But
okay,
let's see. In 1913, women were given the right to vote, and that was 6 years ahead of the 19th Amendment.
Fuck yeah,
pretty progressive. The Red Dog Zinc Mine is the world's largest zinc producer. Right.
Okay.
If you have citizenship in Alaska, meaning you have permanent residency there, for a year or more, you get part of the oil profits from up in the, like Prudhoe Bay and stuff like that, where they found like 12 gazillion barrels of oil or whatever.
All right. Open those rigs up. I'm tired of working.
It's called the Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend Program. It started in 1976. And right now, depending on the taxation from the corporations and stuff, it gives each citizen of Alaska between $1,200 and $3,000 per year. So when you do your like income tax, you just get that back, you know?
I'm not going to lie. I don't think my mental health could handle Alaska. I definitely would not.
I think you'd be fine in Anchorage because it's basically the same climate as Seattle. Everyone thinks just because it's Alaska, it's cold all the time. It's still a temperate rainforest, you know.
I have a homie that lives up in Anchorage. Shout out to Jaybird. They're in a band called Termination Dust that's on like Modest Mouse record label. There's like a really big like DIY community up in those areas.
Yeah,
they just don't get a lot of like touring bands. It's just all locals, you know.
Yeah, because Alaska's hard as fuck to get to.
Right. So like, it's not as desolate in the cities as you might think.
Yeah,
I live in Southern California. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, yeah. It might suck.
That's true. Let's see. In the Tongass National Forest, they have the highest concentrations of bald eagles in the world. That's average one nest per mile of coastline, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because eagles are super territorial. They cover a lot of territory and also have one grizzly bear for every two eagles in that area as well.
That's crazy.
Pass. This season on alone, the 2-episode season, because everyone taps immediately.
They have the highest and lowest point in America. The highest point, obviously, everyone knows. The Denali peak is a little over 20,000 feet, but not many people know that and the Aleutian Islands, where a lot of the tectonic plates are that separate this continent from the ocean in Asia, they have the Aleutian Trench, which goes down 25,000 feet. So also the lowest point in America.
Hell yeah.
But let's touch on a few quick things from Alaska. There's not like a crazy amount like other cities we've talked before. I'm sure Tony will find some more. Let's start with Carlos Boozer, famous NBA player. Cleveland, Utah.
Fuck Carlos
Boozer. I believe his dad was in the military or something. We got Mario Chalmers. Won the championships with in 2012 and 2013. Well, that was with D Wade, right?
Yeah, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Someone you guys probably don't know, but he's basically Alaska's most famous NHL player, Matt Carl. He's in the Alaskan Sports Hall of Fame for hockey.
Hell yeah.
Susan Butcher is the first woman to win the Iditarod.
Okay, hell yeah.
Sometime within the last 20 years. Lincoln Brewster, some type of Christian musician who seems to be popular, I don't know anything about. Actress Annie Parisi. You'd have to look her up but you've seen her face before. She's been on Law and Order, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, National Treasure.
Okay.
We've got James Morrison, who I know from my infatuation with the X-Files. He was on the X-Files and, oddly enough, another star on Law and Order. A lot of Alaskan actors end up on Law and Order, I guess.
Sure.
Kurt Schilling, famous MLB pitcher.
Ugh, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Bob Ross, great painter, from the PBS stuff.
Cool.
The band Portugal the Man, famously from Alaska.
Okay.
Obviously, Jewel. Everyone knows Jewel is from Alaska. That's like the one when you ask name someone from Alaska, Jewel. But did you guys know that her real name is Jewel Kilcher? And the Kilchers are actually a family on one of those. Shane, did you ever watch the Alaska Last Frontier or whatever? It follows the guys and their like survival lives out in like the bush of Alaska, where they choose to just separate themselves from society. That's the family that she's from. She's part of that extended family. Oh, Tony, Mark Sclareth.
Stink.
Super Bowls, multiple Super Bowls with what? Washington, right?
Denver too.
Denver too. Damn.
Yep.
My last one was I don't know how this happened, but this guy named Archie Van Winkle, all right, a Marine who received the Medal of Honor. I don't know which war it was from, but he was in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Jesus.
Maybe he just got it for being in all three wars and surviving. I don't know. But
you gotta be a fucking psycho to want to be in that many wars.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he's obviously a career Marine, but yeah.
You know what was filmed in Alaska? On Deadly Ground, Steven Seagal.
What? It was filmed in Alaska?
Did they have to take him on a ship because he's too big to fit in an airplane?
Listen, who wants to tell him that we can't get him on the plane? We got to take a ship.
Oh, dude, it's Seagal and Michael Caine. That's right.
Michael Caine actually did a movie with Seagal. Oh, right, now I have to watch this. All right, hold on.
He must have been broke.
Also, I want to point out John C. McGinley is in that joint, and so is Arlie Ermey, the dude from Full Metal Jacket. It's directed by Seagal and stars Seagal.
Oh, God, they got dude. It. They got it on Prime.
They're sponsored by Amazon.
Oh my God!
All right, Ryan, this is the movie. If everyone has time, let's try and watch this week.
So next, okay, so
fuck the draft. We're just gonna do a movie review.
We'll do a movie review and a draft.
So next week we're gonna come at you episode whatever, and it'll be draft recap on Deadly Ground.
Dude, it's gonna be awesome. This film's got 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. So thanks for coming out and hanging out. Happy weed holiday if you smoke weed, and if you don't, that's fine. Thanks for listening.
Also, there's a 4-pack that can get delivered to my house tonight of half gram Alaskan Thunderfuck.
What? Try it, Shane.
We're going to California. All right, everyone.
You try it. Let me know.
Hey, happy draft. I hope your teams get all the guys you want. And
because we're going to shit on it next week.
Yep, and Sean Payton sucks forever. So, good night, everybody.
Good happy night. Draft.
Derek Carr.